Some of you knew my Uncle Clarence. He had a trait that seemed to run through the Fudge family pretty predominantly. For many years, he worked on the Redstone Arsenal. And one year while he was working there, they came to Uncle Clarence and they were trying to get everybody to donate to something. I don't even remember now what it was, but they wanted everybody to make their donation through their payroll and so on. And he told Uncle Clarence that he was the only one in his entire group that had not donated and that he had to do it. Guess what? They didn't get 100%. He didn't tell Uncle Clarence what he had to do. If you knew Aunt Edith, you know that sometimes Fudges have a stubborn streak and have a tendency to be a little bit bullheaded at times. And I hope I'm here for more noble reasons than that this morning, but it is good to be with you this morning. Let me see if I can get this thing going here in just 1 minute. We do have visitors, and I appreciate your being with us and appreciate your attendance this morning. I hope that as we study this morning, it can be something that will help each one of us. I'm going to tell you ahead of time that the lesson this morning is one that I have borrowed from someone else, and I would give the proper credit if I had any idea who it was I got it from, but I don't have any idea who I got it from. I know where I heard it, but I don't know who did it. So I'll just have to move on with it as we can. I'd like for us to think this morning a little bit about the conquest of Hebron. Hebron, we read about in the Old Testament mostly. Joshua 14, verses 13 and 14. Joshua blessed him, gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. There it is. Thank you. As we think about this, the story begins back in Numbers chapter 13. Goes on into chapter 14, and I put the end of chapter 14, but actually the story itself continues on into chapter 15 somewhat. This is when the children of Israel had come up out of Egyptian bondage. They had reached Kadesh Barnea. Now, Kadesh Barnea was about three-fourths of the way from Egypt up to the land of Canaan, and they camped at a place there called Kadesh or Kadesh Barnea. While they were camped there, God told Moses, I want you to select 12 spies and send into the land of Canaan and to spy out the land. And so Moses selected 12 men, one from each tribe, to go into the land of Canaan to look over it to see what it was. He said, I want you to go in. I want you to see what kind of people live there. I want you to see what kind of crops they have. See if their land is flat or if it's hill country. See if their cities are walled or if they're opened up. See what the people are like. Just check everything you can and go over this land. And so these 12 men spent 40 days going throughout the land of Canaan. Now, as they went through the land of Canaan, they came back and they reported that the land was as good as God had said it would be. God had told them, this is a land that flows with milk and honey. They came back with a cluster of grapes that was so large it took two men to carry it on a pole on their shoulders. Also a cluster of pomegranates the same way. And so as they came back, they said, yes, this land is everything that God has said this land would be. But they still got a problem. This land has got walled cities. Many of them are up on top of the hill. And so it's not going to be an easy thing for us to take this land. This land is full of giants, and we look like grasshoppers in their sight. In fact, they look at us like grasshoppers too. And if we go in and we try to take this land, they will destroy us and destroy our children, and there is no possible way that we can succeed. At least that's what 10 out of the 12 spies see. Because of their bad report, the people rebel. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, yes, we can go in. God is with us and God will give us the victory. If we will trust God, we can go in and we can take this land and we can have it for an inheritance just like God has promised. Because God is with us. But the people wouldn't listen. Joshua and Caleb begged the people. Moses and Aaron begged the people. In fact, it says Joshua and Caleb tore their robes and they went before the people and they pleaded with them. But the people said, let's stone Joshua and Caleb. Let's get rid of Moses and Aaron and let's get somebody else to lead us. And so they rebelled against God and everything that God had told them. And God said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to destroy this whole group of people. This is 10 times now they've rebelled against me since we left the land of Canaan. And I'm just going to destroy all of them. I'm going to get rid of them and I'll just start a whole new nation with Moses. Moses pled with God and said, don't do that. The Egyptians will hear about it. They'll spread the word that you were not powerful enough to take your people into your land and your name will be disgraced. Please forgive the people as you have forgiven them so many times. And God said, okay. I will forgive the people, however, because of this wickedness, they will wander in this wilderness. They had said in their rebellion, they said, "Oh, that we had died in the wilderness." And God said, "I heard their words, and this is exactly what they're going to do. Every single one of them that rebelled against me will die in the wilderness, and their bodies will be left there. And all of those who are of age, except for Joshua and Caleb, will not go into the land of Canaan." The 10 spies who had caused Israel to rebel were struck with a plague and died before the Lord. Now, as we look at this, we see then that over this period of 40 years, as they wandered in the wilderness and all of the things that happened to them, God took care of them. God provided for them. Sometimes they served Him. Sometimes they rebelled. But eventually they got ready to go into the land of Canaan. And now Moses, because of something he had done, was not allowed to go into the land, but Joshua took over the leadership. And as Joshua took over the leadership, he went into the land of Canaan and he began to conquer a little at a time, as God told him to do, and they began to take over the land of Canaan. And it was during this conquest that Caleb, now 85 years old, comes to Joshua, the leader of the people, and Caleb says, "I tell you what I want, Joshua, for my inheritance. I want Hebron." Now, of all the places that he could possibly have chosen, this one, by man's viewpoint, would be the worst possible place in all of the land of Canaan, unless maybe it was the view. There was nothing else, maybe the view from the top, but there was nothing else about taking this that was good. Hebron was a walled city on top of a hill, and it was filled with giants. And yet, Joshua said, "Okay, that's what you want. God said you can have what you want. It's yours." He blessed him, he gave it to him, and he took it. Joshua 14, beginning in verse 6. "The sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh of the Kenizzite said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot is trodden shall be an inheritance to you and your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. Now behold, the Lord has let me live." Just as he spoke these 45 years from the time the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I'm 85 years old today. I'm still as strong as today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken." What a man. Caleb said, "Give me Hebron." But how was Caleb able to accomplish this? First of all, I believe it was his character. Caleb was a man of character. I mentioned recently that our reputation is what other people think of us. But our character is what we really are. Our character is what motivates us when nobody else is around and nobody else does know or will ever know what we do or don't do. That's our character. It's what we're made up of inside. And Caleb had a character that held him up. In Numbers 14 and verse 24, it says there, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit." This is what God is saying about Caleb. He said he's got a different spirit. He's different inside from other people. "And has followed me fully. I will bring into the land which is entered, his descendants shall take possession of it." God says, this man is different. He had a character that stood out, and it was because of this character that Caleb was able to say with absolute confidence, "Give me Hebron and I will take it, because God is with me." And so Caleb had character. He had a different spirit from the other people around him. He obeyed the Lord fully. He trusted God implicitly. Whatever God said, this is the way it's going to be. And Caleb understood that, and he believed that with all of his heart. Paul says in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, he says, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked." You see, too often we think we can fool people. And we may pretend to be something that we are not. We may put on a front that really is not what we are. We may have a life that is a sham. And oftentimes we hear people that somebody that does something and in the news and people that knew him or maybe even family members say, "Man, I never had any idea that he could do something like that." And yet there are other people that we have known, and every one of us have known people like this, that you would say of them that it didn't matter where you saw them, it didn't matter what they were doing or who they were with, they were always the same. The difference is character. And God's people are to be people of character, just like Caleb. We are to be people who will stand up for what is right and do what is right regardless of the circumstances, regardless of anything around us. So I would ask each of us this morning to seriously consider, am I real? Is what people see of me really what I am, or is this a put-on? Is it a sham? Jesus rebuked the religious leaders of His day repeatedly because of their hypocrisy. They pretended to be something that they were not. And so Caleb was able to succeed because of his character. I believe that Caleb had the character that he had because of his confidence. Caleb had absolute confidence in God. It was not self-confidence. It wasn't that he believed he was so good or so strong or so powerful. But he had absolute confidence in God. He lived in God's strength. And this is why Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God and to stand in the strength of God. This is why we are told that we can have strength and power from within that comes from the Holy Spirit living in us. And so we are to depend upon God's power, not our own strength, but depend upon the power of God. In Joshua 14, in verse 10 it says, "Behold, the Lord has let me live," and this is Caleb speaking, "just as He spoke these 45 years from the time the Lord spoke His word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. Now behold, I'm 85 years old today. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war, for going out and coming in." But notice, if you go back and look at this, he said, "It is the Lord who let me have this." Caleb understood that his strength was from God. He says, "Now give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on the day He heard that day that Anakim were there in great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me." And then notice what he says, "And I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken." Caleb knew that his strength was in God. It was not in himself. And he depended upon God, and it was because of his confidence in God that he had the character that he had. Caleb knew that God is always able to provide what it takes to fulfill His promises. God told Caleb, let me back up a little bit. You remember what God told Abraham? He said, "Go offer up your son Isaac on Mount Moriah." Abraham said, "Okay." Got up early the next morning, headed out. You know what the Hebrew writer tells us? He says the reason that Abraham was able to do that is because God had given him Isaac when he was 100 years old and his wife was 90, and there wasn't any possible way, human terms, that that could have happened. He received him by a miracle in the first place. And if God could do that, God could raise him from the dead, and God had promised that there would be a great nation of people come from Isaac, so He'd have to raise him from the dead. So what if I kill him? God's going to raise him. That's confidence in what God said. And that's the kind of confidence that we see here with Caleb. God said, Caleb, I'll give you that land if you want it. Caleb said, I want it. And so he knew that God would give it to him. And so Caleb moved with absolute confidence because God had given him health and God had given him strength and God would give him Hebron. There was no doubt in his mind. He didn't waver with unbelief. He was absolutely sure that God had promised. And today, we must have the same kind of confidence in God. And if we are doing what God says, we can accept the promises of God with complete assurance that God will provide everything that is needed for our success, just like He did for Caleb. And so he had character. He had confidence. And it was courage that gave him confidence. You know, courage is that which sort of comes from within us. In Numbers 13, there he told the people that they could conquer the land. They said, we can't do it. Got all these giants in there, we can't do it. The other 10 spies were saying, no, no, no. And Caleb says, yes, we can. In fact, if you go back and you look at the reading that we read earlier, and I'm not going to go back and read it all, but in Numbers 13, if you go back and you look at that, what you see there is that the other spies are saying, no, we can't take the land. The people are too big. The cities are too fortified. And they've given all these excuses. And they're arguing with Moses and they're arguing with Aaron. And it's Caleb who speaks up. And he runs in among the people and he says, we can do it. God's with us. We can do it. He had courage to stand against the 10 that disagreed with him. He had courage to stand up for God. And Joshua was a man with a different kind of spirit. And I believe that this different spirit is an attitude toward self. It's an attitude toward others, whether it be enemies or friends. It's an attitude toward God. And it's an attitude toward the circumstances in which we find ourselves. But Caleb was a man of courage because he had a different kind of spirit. But he had to overcome some obstacles that are very much like what we have to overcome today. One of the things that he had to overcome was a grasshopper complex. You know, he got these 10 spies said, man, you wouldn't believe how tall these giants are. These giants are so big that we look like grasshoppers. And, man, that's bad. You remember the story of David and Goliath? Goliath was about 9.5 feet tall. That's somewhere up there around where that light is. These are his kinfolks, some of his ancestors. So we have every reason to believe that they're also somewhere in that range of height. And here's this guy, and he says, man, look at these people. But you know, the grasshopper complex is a self complex. It's one where we look at ourselves and we think that we can't accomplish anything. And we can't accept what God says, and we can't do what God says, because after all, who am I? I can't teach anybody. I can't do this. I can't do that. And it's a negative attitude that permeates too many people's hearts and minds so that we as Christians fail to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. And rather than looking at the positive side of things and having a different spirit, like Caleb, we have the grasshopper complex, and we look at ourselves and we think, oh, how worthless I am. And we tell ourselves that enough that we don't do anything. And we fail to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. But Caleb had to overcome a giant complex, and this wasn't just a complex. These giants were real. And this is looking at others. And rather than looking at self, we look at others and we think, man, look how great they are. Look how big they are. Look what all abilities they have. Look what they do. I can't do anything. And like the one talent man that Jesus told of, we go and we bury our talent and we don't do anything rather than doing what we can. But he also had to overcome gray hair complex. This guy's 85 years old. And I'm not anywhere near that old yet. But there are times that I say out loud even, well, you know, I'm old enough, maybe I don't need to do that. And I understand with age that sometimes there are things we have to forego, or maybe we have to slow down a little, or we have to do a little differently. But the fact is, too many times we use our age as an excuse for failing to do what God expects us to do. One of the things that God has given us, and I had an old gentleman who was older than this, older than 85, who was telling me, and he had been very faithful in his service to God for many years, and he told me, he said, I really feel badly that I cannot do like I used to do because physically he was not able. And I said, you know what? You've got experience and you've got wisdom that none of us younger folks have. And if you'll just encourage us and share some of that with us, you have more to offer than any of us can offer anybody. You see, we need to understand it doesn't matter what age we are, whether young or old, God can use us in His service. Caleb was able to accomplish the conquest of Hebron because of his character, because of his confidence, because of his courage. God gave him the conquest. In Joshua 14, Joshua blessed him, gave Hebron to Caleb. Verse 14, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. That's what it's all about. And God will give us the conquest today. He will give us the victory today if we are willing to follow Him fully. That means that we serve Him day in and we serve Him day out. It means that we serve Him when things are going good in our eyes and when things are not going good. It means that we serve Him when it's easy and we serve Him when it's difficult. It means that we serve God all of the time. And we do what God says. And we put God first above everything else in our lives so that the first priority is what would God want me to do in this situation? God wants us to serve Him. And today, if you're here and you're not a Christian, we would ask you, would you come to Jesus in faith? Would you turn away from your sin and repentance and be baptized in Jesus Christ? If you're willing to do that, He's promised that He will wash away your sins. He's promised that He will give you His Spirit to live in you. He's promised that you'll have a home in heaven when this life is over. So this morning, if you're subject to His invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.